of how we're going to steal or kill somebody to attain something. You know, that's the ways of the world. You know, we're strong. We're strong in the Lord. And the Lord's word is strong toward us. You know, we have riches and wealth. We have the financial kingdom backing us. So all we have to do is pay attention to the word of God. And God said he will do the things that we ask him to do. But we got to come unto him. And he will do the things that he said he would do. Amen. So I thank God. And we're going to pick up where we left off next week. So God bless.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want to use Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 for a launching scripture, but it's really just to pull a portion of that scripture out so that we can magnify upon it. And Hebrews chapter 12 and 2 speaks to us concerning this word. And it simply says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And what does the rest say?
Who for the joy.
Wait. Who for the what?
Joy.
Okay. Was what?
That was set before him.
Continue.
Endured the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Despising the shame.
All right.
And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. God bless you. Now listen at this, because in this middle clause it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, despising the shame. And so my brothers and sisters, when we look at this word, and I want to lift up the cross out of this context, because one of the things that I need you to understand is the joy that was set before Jesus was a reminder to Jesus why he was dying on the cross. And many folk really don't know what that reason was, but I want to give you a helpful holy hint this morning. And it might blow your mind as well. But I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you were the joy that God set before him that made him endure the cross for you. Now, if you heard that, I think you ought to give God some praise. Jesus didn't go to the cross for himself. That was not one sin he committed. Jesus didn't go to the cross to prove he was the Son of God. Jesus went to the cross to save those who would accept him as their Savior and believe in him and have life eternal because of what he offered them by way of salvation. Jesus wanted us to know that we, each and every one who accepts him as their Savior and their Lord, went to the cross with a picture of them in mind, with a picture of us in mind, with a picture of you in mind. And so when we talk about the cross and why is it so significant to the Christian believer? Why is the cross so crucial to the Christian believer? Why is this cross, this emblem, so important to the believer? Why, when we talk about this cross, that it gives to us assuredly the understanding that what Jesus did on the cross was not for Jesus, but for us. That's why the old preachers and the old church kept the cross before the congregation, kept the cross before the Christian believer, kept the cross even before those who would know Jesus aright. It was because of what the cross represented. Listen, in this passage, in this verse, verse 2 of chapter 12 of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that first part I spoke this morning deals with inspiration. We take inspiration from the fact that our faith was begun in Jesus and will be finished in Jesus. Every example that is given in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the chapter before this one, gives us all of these great men and women of God who walked by faith and lived by faith. Those were expecting the realities of what God would do through Jesus Christ and the salvation of all of these who died in faith looking for Jesus. And then when we get to the 12th chapter, the Hebrew writer talks about this great cloud of witnesses who died again looking and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been moved, relocated from earth in the inner parts of the earth, Hades and Sheol, in the areas where the saved and the unsaved were waiting until Jesus would come and unlock those chain cells and release them to go to heaven. Now when the saints, the believer dies, he no longer goes down into the pits of hell, but he is immediately transported into the presence of God. And it's in that witness that these are now being referenced in this verse. And then the second verse says, looking unto Jesus. That's how they all got there, and that's how we're all gonna get there if we keep looking unto Jesus. He is our inspiration. But then the second part of that verse talks about the joy that was put before him, brought before him, was so that we would understand that we were the reason the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary. And so we who have been set before him, who have been saved, who've been delivered, who've been healed, who've been set free, et cetera, we ought to have great appreciation for Jesus. See, the unsaved folk might not know why you shout when you hear the name Jesus. But you ought to know why you shout when you hear Jesus. Somebody said, when you're talking about Jesus, he's a friend of mine. If it wasn't for Jesus, I couldn't stand the storm. You know, all of those songs, they reference the reality of what Jesus means to the believer. So there ought to be a great appreciation for Jesus, if by nobody else, by you. That's why it bothers me when all of us are believers in the house and every now and then it gets quiet after we hear the name Jesus. It's all right if it's quiet before we hear the name Jesus. But if somebody got to make you say amen and they're talking about Jesus, something's wrong with that picture. Somebody got to pull Jesus out of you like pulling teeth. Something is wrong with that. When you think about all that he's done for you. And then we talked about the third part of that was celebration, because what we discovered was after he went on the cross, he went in the earth. And when he went in the earth, he only stayed there 3 days. And the 3 days he stayed there, he was unlocking the jail cells of the saints who went on before. And he was letting them know, listen, time has been, won't be no more. I'm getting ready to take this place and turn it upside down. And on the third day, we're going to have a parade in Jerusalem. And we're going to go on back up to where we really belong. And that's to glory with God. And the Bible says, and is set down at the right hand of God. Listen, and is set down at the right hand of God. And that's celebration because he completed his assignment. He completed what God gave him to do when God looked and said, somebody is needed to save mankind. Nobody was worthy. And Jesus volunteered for the job. And from that moment that he volunteered, before the foundation of the world, he fulfilled every scripture concerning him and what God would do through him in the saving of mankind. Now let me show you three reasons why we ought to, every time we hear about the cross, the cross of Christ, the finished work of Christ. When we talk about that old rugged cross, what does it really mean? I want to give you three helpful, holy hints. The first one is the cross ought to remind us that it is a payment for our redemption. Payment for our redemption. Somebody say payment for our redemption. Rita, I want you to read the scriptures I have for you that you could just know biblically that the cross represent the payment for our redemption.
Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Mm-hmm. In whom we have redemption through his blood.
How do we have redemption?
Through his blood.
All right, continue.
The forgiveness of sins, mm-hmm, according to the riches of his grace.
All right.
Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15.
Okay.
And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament,
mm-hmm,
that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
All right. Listen, it was through his death that what he did for us provided the way for us. It was the payment for our redemption. We could not be redeemed except the Lord Jesus Christ willingly gave his life to substitutionarily stand in each and every one of our places to receive death for us. And in our place that he received death, he, in his place, gave us life. Now listen at this. That's why we have a song that the angels can't sing. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So one, the cross ought to remind us of our payment for our redemption. Payment for our redemption. But secondly, the cross ought to remind us of the promise of our rights and responsibilities as believers. Rita, read.
Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
Listen at this. He has for us a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Better promises. The old covenant was wonderful in its place, but that were things the old covenant couldn't do. That were blessings in the Old Testament that would not work for us in the New Testament. So Jesus completed, fulfilled the old covenant, and then introduced a new covenant based upon better promises. So we have rights under this covenant now that helps us to understand that what Jesus did, not under the law, but under grace. Listen, if the law had to save us, do you know where we'd all be? We'd all be dead under the old covenant. Because under the old covenant, if you broke one sin, you might as well have broken all of them. But under the new covenant, you don't have a license to sin, but you have an opportunity to repent. That's called grace. Grace. Continue reading, because I want you to see, we don't just have all of these rights and the better promises without responsibilities. Continue to read.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 through 25.
Mm-hmm.
Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith,
mm-hmm.
having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Our hearts what?
Washed. Our hearts
sprinkled
from an evil conscience.
Evil conscience. Evil conscience. See, believers, something's wrong if believers going around with hateful hearts.
Come on.
But yet we preach in the pulpit with evil hearts. We serve the people of God with evil hearts. We got devious deacons with evil hearts. Yeah, yeah. And deaconesses that ain't no better. Ushers acting ugly to people coming in the church. Choir folks singing, I love the Lord, he heard my cry, but hate their brother and sister whom they sing with. Folk in the congregation don't want to sit next to nobody, or don't want nobody sitting in their seat. Help me, somebody. And would rather ruin a visitor's experience for sitting in their seat, because they can't meet God, they can't hear God, they can't worship God in no other seat in the church but their seat. And so if you don't understand, my money bought this bench. Yeah, your money might have bought that bench, but it was donated to the worship of God in his house. That ain't your bench. Your name may be on a little plaque on the side of the bench. You donated that, but get the word. Donated, donated, donated. It don't say owner, owner, owner. Some of you been coming so long, sitting so long. That's the problem right now. That's why you can't get nowhere, because you're so busy sitting instead of rejoicing and working in the kingdom heart. But you got all of these issues in your heart, and you're always looking at other folk like they're the problem. Keep on reading.
Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Mm-hmm. That means if you say he is good on a good day, you ought to say he's good on a bad day.
Glory.
If you trust him for one thing, you ought to trust him for all things. Keep on reading, read.
For he is faithful that promised.
This is what you need to know as believers. God is faithful who promised. I don't care what it looks like. Well, preacher, I know the Lord told me he was going to do such and such, but look like my time running out. Well, it may be running out, and that may be true. But until it's out, don't count God out. He is faithful who promised. Job could have looked at his situation, could have looked at his life, and gave up on God. But he was patiently waiting on he who faithfully promised him. And the scripture is filled with those who believed God was faithful. Continue.
Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
All right, listen at this. We got to consider one another. And we've got to provoke each other with love, through love, for the sake of love, to good works. Now, most times we hear the word provoke, it ain't usually got nothing good behind that. When we provoke folk, it's usually with, amen, evil and dirty and dark intentions to bring out the worst in them. Some of us even think it's a game. Watch me make them mad right quick. And then they do stuff to provoke you. Listen, my brothers and sisters, all of us are still being worked on. I want to serve notice right here and now. Let me speak for me. I can't speak for you. But you know that there are things that people can take, and then they can only take so much of it. That there are some people that, listen, if you push them too far, and they've told you, now I'm going as far as I can go. If I were you, I wouldn't push anymore. Listen, I want you to understand, we all have limitations. We all have limitations. And you try to sit there and act like you don't have no limitations, let somebody push your button one time too many. I know you might be able to, you know, you hold it now, filled with the Spirit of God. Ooh, thank you. But I bet they'll hear you speaking in a whole nother tongue when folk get on your last nerve, push you too far. Am I talking to anybody in the house? If I'm preaching truth, tell somebody don't push me too far now. Come on, I'm going to turn this cheek and I'm going to turn the other. But what I need you to remember is I ain't got no more cheeks to turn. Peter tried to tell him, listen, I ain't all I'm supposed to be yet. Peter got mad. He was a fussing, cussing preacher, but he was the leader of the group and Jesus picked him. Jesus kept it real. We have limitations. Don't let folk pull you to that point where you're past your limitations. And we need to provoke folk with love to do good works, not bad works. And when you continue to do that, you need to know there are consequences that come with it. Not only do you deal with the natural, but you're going to deal with the supernatural because you made that brother or sister sin or fall short. And you're going to answer for that. Continue reading, brother.
Verse 25.
Wait, before we get there. I want you to notice 22, 23, and 24. It all starts, all three of those verses deal with our responsibility by saying, let us, let us, let us. Because we've got to realize that we have a part to play. And let us do our part. Every time the writer of the Hebrew say, let us, It was so that we could take our individual responsibility for doing our part. Nobody else can do our part for us but us. Who do you expect to do your part, to answer for you, to do for you? The Lord expects you to do your part. Now go to verse 25.
Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
All right, I want you to stay back in that verse. Now, one of the things that's important about this verse, and I'm glad, because part of our responsibility for the rewards and the riches that we have as believers is to make sure we do our part, not only for one another and with one another, but to also be stewards, not only of our salvation, but watchful of our brothers and sisters' salvation. Now read it again, and we're going to break it into parts.
All right, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
All right. Now the first part of that verse says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. It's amazing how when God blesses us, one of the first places we cut out of our activities is the worship of God at church. I thank God for the media, television, radio, print, live streaming, etc. But none of those are substitutes for being in church on Sunday morning. If there is an issue, a situation, a problem that prevents you from coming, these are mediums that can be used so that you can get what you missed and otherwise would not have gotten, because there was no other way for you to get it, because you could not make it. You could be working. You could be sick at home. You could be in the hospital. You could have some situation, circumstance that prevent you from getting there. You're trying to make it, but things didn't work out like that. But you still have the means to be connected so that you would be able to feed your soul what it needs to make it through that week. The next part.
As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Now listen to this, because it's important that we learn how to exhort one another, how to encourage one another, how to look out for one another. You know, when I was coming up and times before that, parents taught their children to look out for their brothers and sisters.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT.